You're listening to the Mother of All Solutions podcast, conversations about careers and caring for today's parents.
Within the time I've been a parent, I don't know a time when it's been good or okay. So it's really upsetting to hear that we're still having this conversation. You know, my daughter, she's like midway through secondary school and we're still talking about childcare.
So welcome, listeners, to Mother of All Solutions podcast. As part of the new series, I am delighted to have a returning interviewee. I'm delighted to have Harriet Williams joining me today on the podcast. So hi, Harry, how are you?
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for bringing me back after you've reminded me being 4 years. It feels sooner or not as long, but it's crazy how time flies.
It's been a long time since we've spoken. And when we did speak roughly 4 years ago, maybe even a bit longer ago, you were working as a young parent consultant and you were talking about your personal experiences of being a young parent and bringing up your daughter. And then you were also talking about how you were supporting other young parents in your career then and what you were kind of doing to make a kind of culture and a caring system to allow young parents to flourish. So where are you at now? Like, how old's your daughter? What are you working as? Just give us a little bit of an overview of what life is like, Harriet.
So I'm still a founder. I work independently as a young parent consultant. At the moment, I am a task group member for the Policy Research Unit for Maternal and Child Health and Care at Oxford University. And that is literally a great bunch. We do a lot of things around patient, public and parent involvement. And that should be, I've been with them for about a year now, and so many different kind of topics and subjects come out of that. Really glad to be a part of that. Also alongside that, I more or less kind of finished a project with Barnardo's, the children's charity. And they wanted to do a project to basically understand the journey for care experienced parents, because what they found was they knew, kind of understood the journey of care experienced young people generally, but they didn't know too much about what it looked like when you're also a parent, where it's kind of, it's a strange one. Like, I guess you would say social services are like the grandparents of those children's children, if that makes sense.
No, that does make sense. I've never considered it, but it's so important to actually sort of see what are the unique situations. Yeah,
definitely. So again, I was really honored to be a part of that project, and I can send you that report at some stage if you want to have a read of what came out of that.
We can link it in the show notes for listeners.
Yeah, definitely. So if anyone else also wants to kind of know a little bit more about care experienced parents or care experienced journeys, they can definitely have a read about that.
Great.
And then, a few other different hats. I've also recently become a member of the all party parliamentary group for single parent families. Elections campaigns. Amazing. With Gingerbread.
And
for those that don't know Gingerbread, they support single parent families. So again, really, really glad to be a part of that, just to kind of increase the voice and the voices of single parent families, and reduce the stigma and discrimination for that community, because I'm a single parent to my daughter. And then the last couple of things is I'm a member of the Violence Against Women and Girls group for Camden, which is in London.
Oh wow! Okay.
And it was really important for me to kind of be involved in that, because it's something that is happening, that is going on a local level, and because I'm now raising a teenage girl, I just felt it was important to understand what is going on in my local borough. I guess kind of leads me into what I'm doing nationally. I am the deputy leader of the Women's Equality Party. So it kind of says it in the name, but the Women's Equality Party is a political party. Because someone did ask me the other day, is that a political party? And I said, okay, maybe it's not that clear. At the moment, we're kind of aware that we're not about to necessarily overthrow Conservatives and Labour. So I guess we kind of feed in what we believe are important to our members, important to the voices of our members. So those are things around childcare, violence against women and girls, abuse from the police abuse, abuse in parliament, and those type of subjects or areas.
Yeah, no, it's great, Harriet, and I'd obviously seen the announcement about you becoming deputy leader, and so then I was like, oh, Harriet, I haven't spoken to her for ages, but obviously I didn't know about all that amazing kind of local work that you're involved in, with regards to like what you're kind of observing and helping with in Camden, and then still kind of working to support single parents and kind of your work around that. So it's great to know that all that's still going on in your activities, and great to hear. And your daughter's coming up to being a teenager, you said. She's 12.
She's slowly creeping up.
I know, it's scary, isn't it? Because like my daughter's just turned 10 and she's very like proudly like, I'm now a tween. And so I imagine 12-year-olds are now like waiting to be an actual teen, right? And kind of the scenario of parenting keeps evolving, right? Is that how it goes for you?
Definitely. I wouldn't even say evolving. It was as if she kind of, I don't even know the word, retransitioned, if you want to call it that. Year six, when she was about 10, she was so sweet and it was so precious. And as soon, literally the first week she joined year seven, she came back and she was a whole different human being. Literally her first week of year seven, she just came back and was a completely different human being.
Oh my goodness, right.
And I was wondering where the primary school child that I left had gone.
Speaking on behalf of your members about issues for women and girls that are like really relevant to our lives today. Mm-hmm. And you know, some of that is around childcare. You mentioned violence against women and girls as well. So I thought, obviously, in the context of Mother of All Solutions and the podcast, which is very much about careers and caring, it'd be wonderful to pick up with you on some of that conversation about childcare, really, and where we're at. I mean, we've talked about our girls. I also have a son who's now 5. So I'm a little bit kind of moving away from following too closely all the minutiae of what's happening with childcare for under 5s. You know, whereas a couple of years ago when we first spoke, I was like, literally, you know, every little sentence that came out, I was like tracking. And so I thought it would be nice to pick up some of the headlines I've seen, and then maybe like a response from you on some of the detail around what's happening with childcare for preschool under 5s. And in your role as Women's Equality Party deputy leader, you put out a very, I think, strong email in January. So we're now March, but it was like January time, about the what was phrased in your subject heading, the Tory childcare fiasco. And that was around the idea that there was this new announcement of 15 free hours of childcare for some 2-year-olds due to begin in April. And I think the phrasing you used, and the implementation is in shambles. So where's that at now? Like, obviously, April's only next month. Is it still a live, real thing, or what's happening with it, Harriet?
Yes, a really good question. And I think where the Tories are, where the government kind of didn't really think about is kind of just understanding where parents need access or why parents need access to the 15 hours of free childcare. You know, the reasons why, you know, and those that would be mainly affected or mainly need to use this service. So we're talking about single parent households. We're talking about, you know, those that have work commitments. Just for the listeners to kind of understand. So last March, the councillor took to the dispatch box and made an extension of the free childcare hours. And I guess a lot of us, I say us, I don't really use childcare to that aspect, but I feel part of the community still. we welcomed it as a first step towards like something transformative. And then that was rolled out, if you want to call it, a year later, in this year, January. And what we actually saw was it just being, I use the word shambolic because it really was. There was basically a huge problem with IT problems is what they were saying, which meant there was delays in, basically a parent had to go on a website to get a code. I mean, that code then had to be sent or used with the childcare providers that they were looking to approach. And what actually happened was parents faced huge delays in accessing this free childcare, and providers didn't know how much funding they would receive per place, making it impossible to prepare. So I guess to answer some of your question, the childcare providers have their, you know, as some of us are aware, some childcare provisions are private, so they have their own set deadlines for things as well. So although they, I guess they can be kind of empathetic to the codes and all that type of stuff, they have, I guess, their systems of doing things. So it just shows that the government did not have a conversation with those that are actually providing the childcare to actually, it's just what we would call a consultation, isn't it? You consult the people that you claim are supposed to bring out this service. Yeah. And of course, what that created was a lot of frustration for families and parents, because they're not, for some people, they can kind of maybe understand, it's a government issue. But for a lot of people, they just want their child to be in childcare. So their anger or frustration or irritation would be towards the childcare providers to kind of say, I can't get these codes. Why I still want my son or daughter to go to XYZ nursery. Yeah. I don't see why you can't just put me on the waiting list. But it's like, unfortunately, not like, I guess it's not the childcare. Yeah, exactly, Laura. It's not the fault of the childcare providers. It's beyond. It's
just like stirring the pot, isn't it? When everything's already pressured, like from the family viewpoint and from the nursery provider's viewpoint, everything's already pressured. And then there's like something that could sound really beneficial, but just if it's not planned through and I do remember just trying to access all the various little systems and like, you know, whatever you could get from your workplace if you were lucky enough to get some support, or the tax-free childcare codes. And it's always really complicated. And this sounds like another layer of complication. It's just crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think some of the areas that they also didn't think of is the fact that there has been significant impact from COVID-19. I know we've kind of feel like we're kind of, it ended and we've all kind of moved on, but unfortunately there's still the ripple effect from that. And what the ripple effect is that many facilities have closed down. So this is contributing to a demand supply gap and resulting in lengthy waiting lists anyway, regardless of these vouchers. And also, there was also considerable turnover in staff. So people that were quite keen or were already working in those type of provisions aren't there anymore. So there's generally not enough availability or quality of service.
It's a lot. So the rollout should be happening in whatever way, shape or form. I'm sure there'll be some more news and coverage of it as it comes out. It was a very memorable message that you put out in January about it. We're now looking to see what's going to be happening in the spring. I mean, the whole sort of atmosphere or landscape for parents, including those particularly affected disproportionately, like single parent families. I did note that in February, Pregnant Then Screwed had reported new data around the situation just at scale, really, across the UK, rather than obviously a government scheme that was being released. This was just more like kind of where things are at. And I believe it was around 35,000 surveyed and then a kind of data set of around about 5,000 to 6,000 looked at, and some of the figures seemed quite shocking to me when I read them. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe we could just have a little chat about those, just from your personal perspective and also your professional perspective. So this is just recent reporting from February. So number of parents falling into debt to cover childcare costs is up by a third in just 12 months. And yeah, so like an actual figures, the new figures, 45.9% of parents have been plunged into debt or withdrawn their savings to pay for childcare, which is that 30% increase from 2023. So that's like huge from last year, isn't it? I mean, it's like kind of, it was always bad, but now it's just like crazy. Yeah, and then half, and that's 52.5% of mothers who have had an abortion believe that the cost of childcare was the primary reason for terminating their pregnancy. I mean, it's just really sad and shocking to hear things like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then as you've talked about with single parents, half of single parents have had to borrow money to pay for childcare. Yeah, and then the final one was around a third of mothers unable to return to work full time due to childcare costs or availability. And you like reference that availability, you know, some of the provision has decreased since the pandemic. And that's compared to 11.9% of fathers. So yeah, there's a lot to digest. And as I say, because now my son's five, some of that like detail I just hadn't quite been following as much. So early this year, when I did start to kind of pick up these news stories, I was like, that's really shocking. Yeah, I don't know, Harriet, I've not got a specific question for you, more like a like how are you feeling sort of vibe.
It's definitely it's definitely frustrating, because you know, my daughter's now 12, and to be honest, the conversation about childcare hasn't changed. Or whether you know, in a lot of ways, though, I don't want to say those statistics don't mean anything, they mean a lot, but it's like, it's I don't know a point, like within the time I've been a parent, I don't know a time when it's been good or okay. So
yeah,
it's really upsetting to hear that we're still having this conversation. You know, my daughter's going to be you know, she's like midway through secondary school and we're still talking about childcare. When I needed to use childcare at the time, my childcare was more than my rent. And of course, at the time I was a young single parent, I had my daughter when I was 18, and the whole purpose of needing childcare was to to increase my job prospects, which is
if you want to see it that as well, weren't you?
Exactly. So if you want to see it that way, that is I kind of did that because I kind of had a reason why to do that. But it's sort of like, there shouldn't be a reason why childcare is excluding anyone. It should be accessible to everyone, because there are so many reasons. You know, that's my reason, the work commitments or financial support or kind of the benefits of education. But the way they've set it up is very, very exclusive. Not inclusive or equal for everyone.
Your daughter is that bit older than mine, but yeah, it hasn't, even though I said I hadn't followed the detail of it, of course, you know, in its sense and through doing the podcast, you see, oh goodness, it still hasn't changed. But well, hopefully we've got to stay positive, right? I don't know how you live your life if you don't. So you know, you're doing lots of work in all your different guises and your roles, campaigning and talking and sharing and pushing. So what else are you up to? It sounds like you've got enough on your plate, but in terms of like campaigns with Women's Equality Party, is there anything else that you're kind of like doing at the minute that's really important to you?
So one of the campaigns, I actually campaigned last night, funnily enough, and that was the Police Are Beyond Reform campaign.
Okay.
And that was all around the report regarding the unfortunately killing of, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're nodding your head. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's just
in the papers this week. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So me and the Women's Equality Party members and the team were outside New Scotland Yard last night in the rain, just screaming and shouting and basically just letting the police know that it's not good enough. The raping, killing, racism, misogyny against women and girls needs to stop, and they need the Metropolitan Police are beyond reform.
Yeah, I didn't realize you were out on the streets last night. I'd just been following bits in the press, really. That's as far as I'd got. That's the depth of my ownership of the issues. But yeah, it is. It's all quite scary, isn't it? And I think we were chatting a little bit informally before we started recording, like, you know, being a young person and being a young woman, especially today, feels very daunting, doesn't it? It's
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
it really does. Because alongside that, we also are we also have our abortion is our right campaign that we are really kind of pushing to try and get MPs to support an amendment to stop the imprisonment of women who end their own pregnancies in England and Wales.
Okay.
So watch this space. We want to do a actual physical campaign at some point as well.
Obviously lots of campaigning still to be done. So a kind of like what next for you is a daft question because you're just going to keep at it. But yeah, is there anything else coming up for you? Any nice stuff coming up for you, Harriet?
Exactly. That's a good question. It's a nice way to... So any nice stuff coming up for me? So March is a busy month with International Women's Day. So I'm really excited about that. I'm going to be talking at I'm going to be a panel on a few really exciting, projects or with really exciting other panelists. So again, just talking about, some positive, you know, hopefully some positive stuff around being a woman, you know, it's about, in my opinion, it's about celebrating us. And then alongside that, I've also got like a women's fashion show nearer the end of the month, which should be really fun. That's in the borough, that's like promoting things in the borough of Camden, which I mentioned previously.
Oh, nice.
And the organizer also, I said, oh, do you want to be part of the fashion show? I don't know. I don't know if that's my hat, but you know, me.
Well, your Instagram, you've got some good outfits on your Instagram, Harriet. So I think it is your thing.
So maybe I might consider it, but definitely, really excited to kind of go and see all the, you know, amazing women and different, you know, different women that are showcasing in the area.
Perfect. Yeah like what's coming out of Camden, right? You know,
because I think there's going to be like stall holders and music and food and, you know, all bits and pieces, cool. all kind of demonstrated by women. So I'm really here for that and really ready to kind of represent and support.
Amazing. Well, I might not get to see you on the catwalk, but I'll look to see your Instagram images and stuff. And how can people follow you, Harriet? What are the best ways to keep in touch with you if people are intrigued?
So the best way is I'm on LinkedIn. My LinkedIn is Harry A. Williams or Harriet Williams. I'm on Twitter and it's also Harry A. Williams. So when I say Harriet, A-R-R-I, I am also on Instagram. My handle is Mummy Harry. So that's Mummy and then H-A-R-R-I.
Yeah, amazing. It hasn't changed since we spoke initially, has it? So
I can
link it through.
People still know me. I know I've got all these hats, but people still know me as that. So I'm sticking to it. I think it's me now.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's tricky, that thing, isn't it? Because like you go, like, especially the podcast Mother of All Solutions, of course, like there's lots of debate about the identity of motherhood, like how much should you push it, how much should you just generalize it, and it's really interesting when you hear people. So I'm kind of pleased you've kept the mummy bit in your
I I'll always be a mum, of course, but I kind of feel like I've grown, you know what I mean, I've somewhat grown since that kind of branding. But that being said, I'm not a celebrity, but when I go places, people actually come to me and say, "Mummy Harry," that's how they approach me. So I'm like, you know what?
As
opposed to kind of coming up with some kind of like, you know, more professional Harriet, it feels a bit more soft.
Yeah, a bit more personal, right? A bit more like, you know, you're the real human with the feelings inside. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today to speak with me. I've loved catching up in general and then hearing about all your work and what you're up to. So thank you for sharing.
You're very welcome.
Oh, no, it's good. And let's not leave it as long for next time, right?
Yeah, please.
And thank you to listeners for listening today. I'm going to put some of those links in the show notes of the episode so you can follow through. If you have enjoyed today's episode, it'd be great if you could also rate and review or share it on your socials or just tell one of your friends who you think would like to hear the conversation between Harriet and I. And listen out for future episodes. You can subscribe to Mother of All Solutions wherever you get your podcasts. And keep in touch with me on Instagram or X as @solutionsmother. So thanks, everyone. And we'll be in touch soon. Bye.
See you. Bye.
Bye.